Welcome to Health Connections, a show about people, health, and policy. I'm Brandon Hollingsworth, and Happy New Year. Are you planning on making any New Year's resolutions, or maybe you already have? If so, you're among millions of Americans who make this yearly commitment. But you're also probably going to be one of the 50 to 80% of people that don't stick to their resolutions. In fact, survey data indicates only about 1 in 10 people actually sustain their resolutions. So today, on this New Year's Day, we're talking about New Year's resolutions, what they tell us about our habits and ourselves, and how you can stick to them. Joining me today is Dr. Carol Myers of the University of Tennessee College of Nursing. Dr. Myers, Happy New Year to you.
And Happy New Year to you, Brandon.
There are some resolutions we know are perennial. I'm going to lose weight this year. I'm going to quit smoking. I'm going to exercise more. I'm going to do this or that. These seem to come up every year and are quite popular. But as we just talked about, people rarely stick to them. It's hard sometimes to stick to those. Is there any way to beat the odds and be more successful, to have more stick-to-itiveness when it comes to New Year's resolutions?
Yes, Braden, there's some guidance that we can offer. You can pick the right resolution. And this involves your resolution being doable, can you do it, and meaningful. Do what you want to do, not what others expect you to do or say you should do. So importantly, it should have meaning for you. The key is being self-motivated. That's going to be the secret sauce. Not pressed to do something you simply do not want to do that you've been pressured into doing. You have to avoid resolutions that are too vague. They have to have some specificity to them. Make sure you have a realistic plan for achieving your resolution. You make the resolution, and then you must act on it. And a very important thing as people are thinking about their resolutions is change one thing at a time. If you try to accomplish multiple goals at one time, you're more likely to fail.
This sounds to me very much like the research on multitasking, where many people think, I can do 6 things at once at the office. Actually, what research has shown is humans are not natural multitaskers. It sounds like this is what you're talking about in terms of our behaviors and our habits and patterns like that.
Yeah, that's a good analogy, and a lot of it has to do with our brain science.
How can we avoid the pitfalls? We talked about how hard it is to stick with these New Year's resolutions. What can we put into our minds to begin with to anticipate and avoid some of those potholes?
Forgive yourself. When you lapse or fall off the wagon, brush yourself off and get back on. Everyone has lapses. Perfection is not possible. We're humans. So resolve to recover from your mistake. Not give up on your resolution. Say, okay, I messed up. Let's go back. Let's do it again. Don't give up. Make sure you have support. Maybe you need to join a support group, a Weight Watchers group. Maybe you need an exercise buddy. I've always found that works very well for me. And then set yourself up for success. If you make a resolution, you want to keep it. So what are some strategies? Well, get rid of the junk food in the house if your resolution is to lose weight. Establish a routine. Routines are so important. And then deal with potential excuses ahead of time. Pack your lunch if needed so you have healthy food at lunchtime. Have your exercise shoes and clothes in your car so you can stop and exercise on the way home.
A little earlier in this conversation, we talked about not trying to bite off more than you can chew. In other words, instead of trying to make 6 New Year's resolutions, maybe you pick one at a time. How do you begin to prioritize that? If I have 2 or 3 things that I want to tackle in 2019, how do I decide which one comes first?
Well, this is very individual. So each person needs to do a little reflection. Consider the cost-benefit of the proposed change. It's hard to quit smoking, but the health benefits are major, and some accrue almost immediately. So think about the prize. Then the other thing is to focus on something that will pay dividends over time. I'm going to tell you a story about a highly capable doctoral student I had a couple years ago. She was beginning her doctoral program and revealed to me that she was terrified of public speaking. So together, we made a plan for her to take a public speaking course over the holidays, and importantly, to finish it. Well, she did take the course and complete it. And interestingly, even before her doctoral defense, she found many opportunities for public speaking, things she had avoided previously. And she was good at it, and she found that it was a powerful tool in her nursing work. So look for things that pay dividends. and then pick a resolution with benefits that resonate for you. Again, you're not making a resolution to please other people.
There's a quote that you say you really enjoy. If your resolutions usually fail, probably time to make better resolutions. Let's talk about making better resolutions.
Yeah, this is a really important one, Brandon, and I thought that quote was very apropos. Interestingly, you can actually use a process that I frequently use in my teaching. You craft what are called SMART objectives.
And that's an acronym, S-M-A-R-T.
Right. So we're talking about objectives that are specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound. They have a deadline. So I want to lose 10 pounds in the next 6 weeks. That's realistic. That's measurable. It's achievable. And I set a deadline. That's a good resolution.
I want to build on something you said there about specificity. A lot of New Year's resolutions, as you pointed out, are kind of vague or open-ended. I'm going to find a new job this year. I'm going to quit smoking. I'm going to lose weight. Without being specific about how to do that, how do we find the specificity in those resolutions?
Well, I can give you a few examples around popular resolutions, Brandon. A lot of people will be looking to lose weight, and that involves perhaps not eating things we've been eating. And, you know, how do you satisfy your craving for chocolate? Well, maybe you switch from a Hershey's chocolate bar with almonds to a limited number of chocolate-covered almonds. I even use almonds dusted with cocoa powder to get less calories. And in the meantime, I'm getting nuts, which are high in protein and fiber. So that's a substitution that I can make and still satisfy my craving for chocolate. You should add exercise to your daily routine. You need to know when you can do it in the course of your everyday activities. Use the stairs, park further away, just whenever you can get any activity in. We've heard that you need to exercise, sustained exercise, 30 minutes most days a week, and that means 5 days generally. This is good. This is something you should aim for, but also know that 10 minutes three times a day will also be beneficial.
If you're not going to the gym, you know, 1-2 hours a day for several days a week, but maybe you have an office job that allows you to get up and walk around, you know, just a few times a day, you can break that 30 minutes down into smaller increments.
Exactly. There's actually two women in my building who have an alarm on their Fitbit, and they get up and they walk up the stairs to the third floor, around the third floor, and down to the basement, around the basement. They do that every hour on the hour. They get in a little bit of exercise. They actually say it helps them thinking when they go back to their desk. So you say, well, I'm losing 5 to 10 minutes every hour. No, you're gaining that and being more productive. So great point, Brandon.
A few weeks ago, you and I talked about brain science, what research is telling us about the adult brain, how we learn, how we grow over time. Neurology also has something to say about our habits, how to change them, how to change those behaviors that might be helpful in a discussion about New Year's resolutions. What does the neurology tell us?
First off, it boils down to the very reason that we make resolutions, which we'll talk about, the appeal of instant gratification, and then, as you mentioned, habits. We make resolutions to address things we're not doing well. So just by the very nature, resolutions, it's an uphill climb because we're trying to change something that we're already not doing well. Making a resolution is easy. New Year's Day, you're sitting on the couch, popping a few sausage balls, watching football, maybe enjoying an adult beverage, and you say, I'm going to make a resolution. Easily said. Not easily done when you go to execute. So the simple thought is instantly gratifying, but there's also something called effective forecasting. Fancy term that means this is when we use how we feel when we make a resolution to predict how we will feel when we actually carry out the resolution. But it doesn't work this way because going out at 6 a.m. for a brisk walk is not instantly gratifying.
Sometimes our conversations kind of unintentionally coalesce around a single concept. We keep coming back to habits. What is the neurology telling us about habits that might help inform this discussion?
Well, habits result from the connections of neurons in our brains that work together and have been beneficial to us over time. So as we talked about in brain health, we're creating neural pathways, and they become very efficient. But also, as we talked previously, Brandon, it's the concept of use it or lose it. The more we pursue our habits, the stronger they become. To change a habit, you need to disrupt the neuronal connections of the habits.
Well, I hope you're going to tell me how we do this, because it's one thing, as you said, to propose the solution, another one to carry it out. So how do we disrupt these neuronal pathways and change some of these habits?
Well, I think it really is almost counterintuitive when we're making resolutions, which are often goals, is we need to focus more on the habits than the goals. Resolutions ultimately are about behavior change. This is the hard part. So you need to figure out what motivates you. If someone says, I'm going to lose weight, that's pretty abstract. We're not talking about what the benefit will be. But if you frame it as, I'm going to lose weight so I have energy to play with my children or grandchildren, that's more specific and hopefully more motivating. You need to substitute a new habit for the one you want to discard. You can't just say, this habit's gone. We usually need to put something in its place. Just as it took time to build the habits we have that we want to change, it takes time to build new habits. So one thing you have to do is be aware of triggers and avoid them. You know, if your problem is smoking, don't go into a party with a lot of people that are smoking. Maybe you need to say, not right now, and stay away from that, or learn how to manage it.
You also say we don't necessarily want to break habits. We often, like colloquially, will refer to it that way. I got to break this habit. That's a difficult thing to do, and it also feels to me like a negative approach. What you're talking about is a more positive approach.
Exactly. I think if when we think in terms of positive, it's easier to make the change than when we think in terms of negative. So I'll reveal a little bit about myself. I have a social media habit. I use social media as a way to connect with people and to keep up with current news and commentary on issues of interest to me. But it's ironic that the thing I do to connect actually causes me to be more disconnected. I'm there sitting at my screen for an hour or so, and I'm not really interacting with people. So I'm pondering, maybe I say, instead of that hour, you know, rummaging through Twitter and Facebook, maybe I need to be writing some notes, making some quick calls, and making more personal connections, and actually being more selective and seeking out the things I want to read and know more about. I'm not ready yet to publicly make that a resolution, but it's something I'm thinking about.
On that note, we'll wrap up this discussion of New Year's resolutions. I'll resolve to meet you back here in 2 weeks for another edition of Health Connections. Dr. Carol Myers of the University of Tennessee College of Nursing, thanks so much for talking with me today.
It's always my pleasure, Brandon. Happy New Year.